Well, today I've got another 5 minutes on the subject of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. I'm going to read from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 23. Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth, so let me read it to you. Verse 23, "If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad?" I believe they would. My takeaway from this verse of Scripture is that when the whole church is speaking in tongues, if the unlearned, those who do not know about this baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the unbelievers, those who don't believe this, will they not say that you are mad? Of course they would. That's almost like what happened on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 and verse 12 tells us that when they heard these people speaking in tongues, they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What is this?" Others mockingly said, "These men are full of new wine." In this crowd in Jerusalem, we found the unlearned and the unbelievers who were astonished at what was going on. They didn't know what was going on. But now when they were in the upper room, when the Holy Ghost fell on them, and they all began to speak in tongues, that meant that everybody in the room was speaking in tongues. Nobody thought they were mad. One brother didn't look at a sister and think she was mad. One disciple didn't look at another disciple and think, "You are mad," because they were all praising God in unison, glorifying God. No one thought they was mad until the outsiders, the unbelievers, and the unlearned heard them speak. Before I go any further, I want to say this. Speaking in tongues is of the Holy Ghost. It is not possible to teach, coerce, or otherwise grant someone the ability to speak in tongues. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be empowered and guided by the Spirit. This does not mean that the Holy Spirit overpowers a person's will or freedom of choice. Instead, we yield to the Holy Spirit and are therefore led and guided by the Holy Spirit. Instead of following after the flesh, we follow after the Spirit. If you deny or refuse to accept the ministry of the Holy Spirit, or if you subscribe this ministry to the devil, you are denying the deity of the Holy Spirit. It is taught against by several large denominations. Talked against by Ed Young, John MacArthur, and many others. One of these Bible scholars said this, "We stand with men like Augustine, Luther, Calvin, Edwards, Spurgeon, all of whom attested to their conviction that tongues had ceased. Others teach that the gifts of the Spirit were only active until after the Bible was finished being written. There's no scripture to support this view. It appears to me that the speaking in tongues is a stumbling block to some, and surely we wouldn't want to drive people away from God. The average man on the street may be driven away by such a practice as speaking in tongues," some would say. So much of the Christian world rejects tongues because they want to be seeker-friendly and successful. Some reject the doctrines of speaking in tongues because it's not logical. If something's not logical, it doesn't compute. It doesn't make sense. If it's not logical, then it's not true. To the natural man, speaking in tongues seems illogical. The carnal man cannot see any benefit in it. Could we apply this same argument to other doctrines? such as the virgin birth of Christ, the resurrection of Jesus, the rapture of the church, all are contrary to logic. Does this mean that we should reject them as well? Many things which seem on the surface to be illogical, examined from a different point of view or in a more detail, ends up being logical. If these 5 minutes have been a blessing to you, let us know. We would love to hear from you. Email us at BibleStrong316@gmail.com. We love you.